Bring your teeth.
Oh, let me take the bag out of it.
They got 5 more minutes. They still would start late. Play guitar, and sometimes I've got a professional jazz guitar who plays it. Super fun because I'm taking lots of new therapy. We used to have like a little band, and you have to get together and do all that stuff. And now, six songs we know, and refresh the make it all fancy. It's everybody too. I did steal a couple of K cups from work. A lot of maple coffee from Trader Joe's.
Garden.
Over here. My disposal is too big for my can's too big to go under the sink.
Me. Where's my volume? Yesterday, I told you I was divorced for 12 years. I thought,
Yeah.
oh, that's not right. I did got divorced in 2012, so it's 11 years. I've been in this long distance relationship for a lot of those years, but I had to let that go last month.
Oh, really?
Well, it's like,
You
yeah, I
cut it
surrendered.
off?
Well, I thought a surrender was better than breakup. I'm sorry if you had to suffer a global pandemic, if God's been trying to tell me something.
Huh.
But we're in a new phase. We're in, I heard God answers all your prayers. It's either yes, wait, or wait till you see what I have for you next. So I'm in the wait till you see what I have for you next phase.
That's exciting.
Kind of, yeah. It's like I thought this month would be all sad because of, grieving the loss. But then I spent 2 weeks helping a guy in hospice, and then the stuff with Tyrese happened. So it's like, oh, I got these assignments from God. I'm just gonna see how that plays out.
Hey, I got a full cup.
Good. That's probably because there's still some water underneath the reservoir. She won't be shocked. This will be interesting for me to see what people experience.
That lady, now that you've got her back.
She doesn't. They're going to wonder because I'm always there. They're going to wonder where I am. But it's a Fellowship Bible Church. It's a free grace church. So after being Catholic for 50 years, trying to earn God's love. Ooh. I need to mute myself.
All right. Okay, good morning. I'm glad that the McFarlands are here. Otherwise, it would have been the Gresham baby dedication day. But happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and all you who mother others, for sure. We're thankful for that. Let me pray, and then we'll go ahead and we'll sing a couple of songs, Behold Our God, and We Will Glorify. You can stand during that. Then we'll have a time of prayer and praise, probably keep that a little bit shorter, since we have some in here who are a little harder at sitting still. And then we'll do the dedication of some of the children that we've not been able to do for a while, and it's going to be great to do that. And as I say, it'll be great to get to dedicate a number of my grandkids, and we'll go on from there. So, Father, again this morning, thank you. And I thank you for the reminder in your word of our purpose in gathering. I know we have a lot of thoughts. I certainly do this morning. It's a little different for me. And so I would pray that you'd focus each of us on the sacrifice, the humility, the love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how that binds us together as one body. May we recognize that. May we know that that's a reality. It doesn't always feel that way, Father, through the week, but may we recognize that now as we're reminded of that. May we praise you with hearts that are filled with joy and thankfulness, even in a world that isn't always easy. May we lift your name up, glorify you in front of each other and in front of anyone who might pass by. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing, Behold Our God. seated. We have just a couple of prayer requests this morning, special requests. They do? Maybe not. Maybe to be self-limiting. Dave, we're too far away. Where'd Dave? There you go. I think it was, is the light on?
The light is on.
Good.
Some of you may remember Rob and Mindy Peters from some years ago. Mindy passed away 7 years ago of brain cancer, leaving Rob to raise their four girls. And she had a sister named Lori who was very much involved with the family. And we got news that last Friday, not this one just passed, but on the 5th, Lori and two of the girls were in an accident in Sydney, and Lori was killed. So if you could just please pray for those poor girls who have lost their grandpa and their mama, and now their Aunt Lori, who was just involved in every possible aspect of their lives. And the two girls are okay. Danae suffered a broken leg, and Jinju just bumps and bruises and was released immediately from the hospital. So just prayers for Rob and their whole family, because that's the last of Mindy's family. There are no others left. So
would you go ahead and pray for that?
I would
love
to.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Father God, we just lift to you the Peters family. What a great loss for them. And just lift to you, Rob, that you would just hold him up and give him peace in this another life, another loss for him. He said it reminded him again of losing Mindy. So that you would just pray for, we would just pray for those girls, that you would be near to them and that they would be surrounded by your body in their church in Sydney, that they would just be loved and just feel your presence through the people there. And we just ask all these things in your precious son, Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Is that anyone else this morning? Come on in. Got one over here. Thank you, ma'am. We've had enough rain that I didn't get a static electricity shock. That's the first time.
Yes, I would like to have prayer for my husband, Peter, for his back and his knee. He's having a lot of pain right now. And also, I would like to praise that this is our 35th anniversary.
Amen.
Today, so. Hey, honey. I know he's watching. He always watches. And so.
I wondered who you were talking to.
I'm talking to the camera.
I understand now.
Okay.
I remembered that, but it took a while. That's good. Who would pray for Peter? Someone got it.
God, we just thank you for Cindy and Peter and their 35th wedding anniversary. And we ask that you would greatly encourage them and strengthen them in their marriage, continue to give them great love for each other. And we pray for Peter and his back and ask that you would bring healing, that you would comfort him with your presence, and that you would just continue to provide either through doctor's appointments or PT or whatever he's having to go through, that you would encourage him as he sees you taking care of him. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Any others? Thanks. All right. I'll rush you on. Somebody's grandchild's not being good. It's okay. I love them. Yeah. So, we're going to dedicate children now. We don't baptize children. I suppose you could use that symbol in a way that would be good, but it tends to be a little confusing, I think, given what baptism was given to us for. But at any rate, we do dedicate our kids. We do want to acknowledge that we want them to be under the grace and the hand of God, and as well under our commitment to be parents that would raise them to honor and glorify God according to His Word. And we do this on Mother's Day. Hadn't done it. It's been hard. You know the situation, right? Some of you, it's just been hard to do it for a while. So we've done it now. And my family's been very productive. And so we're going to do all those at once. The McFarlands have been awfully productive as well. So we'll start with the McFarlands. Let me have them come on up here. Bring them up. And let me get this out of the way a little bit. I don't think that's... Yes, please. There you go. You can come on up. Let's sit over here. Good job, dude. You need another chair or is he okay? Well, let me give you another one. All right. Let me make sure I get this right. Of course, I picked up the wrong paper. These are hard for me. Interpersonal human things are really hard for me, man. That's it's not a pastoral thing. I think I don't want to be in the way is the problem here. So this is Josh and Jill McFarlane. You'll see them sitting back there nearly every week, or at least one of them nearly every week. Sometimes this guy's gone. I'm going to give you a microphone if that's okay, and he's going to want to play with it for sure, but that's okay. Tell us a little, where are you from and how did you end up here? That's probably okay. The most important part.
Yeah, so Josh and Jill, we moved here in July of last year, military. So we were Army, now Space Force, and so that's kind of what brings us here. That's what makes narrowing down where we're from a little bit harder. I think Kansas City is kind of the central hub for family. We went to college there, so we kind of consider Kansas City area more home. Okay. We're excited to be here.
Good. Yeah, it's good to have you here. I think you understand free grace. Yep. I think that's probably one of the reasons that keeps you here with this weird group of people as far as that goes. So I appreciate that very, very much. And it is always a blessing. As I say, you're here sometimes. You have to be here by yourself. And it's just a blessing to have you and the guys here. And so we're going to work on dedicating all three of these guys. You're going to have to help me out. Which one is Rowan? Rowan, how are you? You good? How old are you? 5. Wow, that is really cool. Now, I'm going to read what they wrote about you. So this is what your mommy and daddy think of you. Okay, Rowan? It's good. It's all good. Rowan's 5. He's outgoing. He's a ball of energy. I don't want to block the view. I'm sorry. He loves making new friends. You like friends? Yeah, I know that. That's what they say. He never seems to stop moving, but has a tender side that shows up as a big brother. Thank you for that, my friend. Thank you for loving those brothers of yours. He loves to learn and is always asking questions. He doesn't know if he is or not. Our prayer for him is that he would channel his enthusiasm toward his relationship with Jesus and be a good example to his younger brothers. And then the verse that they picked for you, brother, is Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Thank you. Boy, that's beautiful. I love that, Rowan. Rowan Joshua McFarlane. Then Paxton Reed McFarlane. Uh-oh. He looked up. Paxton? How you doing, brother? Bah, it's okay. I feel somewhat the same way, okay? So we're just a little... You're 3. How many 3? There it is. Okay, 3rd one there. Great helper and observer. Oh, a middle child. You watch stuff going on. You watch it going on. You love to help cook and clean. Would you like to come to my house and cook and clean? Okay. He is a sweet little brother and a big brother who's always ready to make you laugh. He's going to be a comedian. Yeah, you like that. Okay. Loves music and testing out a new skill when we're not looking. What's the latest thing you learned? How to make coffee. Did it turn out good? No. Did you put sugar in it?
No.
No. Cream, milk? Coffee grounds? That just makes it more fun to chew it, right? Yeah, it's kind of fun. Fantastic. Or Our prayer for him, this is your mom and dad's prayer for you, is that God would use your heart for service. That's to love other people, to care for other people. And you're already showing that right now. 1 Peter 4:10 is a verse they picked for you. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's beautiful. Thank you. Well, by process of elimination, this must be Lachlan Cole McFarlane. I don't think he recognized that. Okay. 7 months old. We were glad when you were born. He's got a quick smile. Smile quickly, brother. Loves to laugh at his brother's antics. Oh, they are so much fun. Yep. He's the earliest crawler of the three. Uh-oh. And is ready to join his big brothers as soon as possible. Our prayer for him is that he would grow to love God and pursue a strong relationship with him. And a verse is Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a wonderful day. So their prayer for all three of the boys is that they would come to understand God's gift of salvation by grace through faith, and that their lives would bring glory to God. That's why it's such an encouragement to me, because I've heard a little bit of your story from more of a distance. Mary knows more about those things, and just how encouraging it is to know that there really are other people out there who believe in salvation by grace through faith and kind of like to stick with that. And so it's always just been a great encouragement for me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stand behind all of you. Don't be afraid when I get behind you, okay? I'm not going to do anything tough or dump any water on you or anything like that, okay? And then I'm going to pray for you all and ask that God will bless you and will honor these requests of your mom and dad. But I'm mostly going to ask that he'll give your mom and dad the strength and give your mom and dad the faith to trust him to raise you guys in a way that will honor God. Then I'm also going to ask you all to say amen at the end of that if you'll help, okay? Let me get behind you here. Oops, I almost fell over. There you go. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this dear family. I thank you for Josh and for Jill. And I thank you that they have connected with us in the way that they have. I thank you for the work that you have Josh doing. I thank you for the work that you have Jill doing. Father, I pray that they will both honor you in all that they do, but this day we think especially of these dear boys. God, what a blessing. What a blessing of energy and a blessing of life, a blessing of joy. What a wonderful, wonderful picture of the gifts that you give us that are so good to see these guys here like this. And so this morning, Father, I want to pray for Rowan. I want to pray for Paxton, and I want to pray for Lachlan. I pray that each of these boys will very early on in life place their faith in Jesus to give them everlasting life. I pray that. I just believe that will be true because of the way this family works, Lord. And so I ask for that, and I pray that you would honor that prayer, that they would trust you. Then, Father, I pray that as they've trusted you, that as they go through those years, that they'll grow into young men and then into men who also would honor you because of the way that they live according to your word. Father, I pray you will have your hand, your mighty hand of love and grace and power and all of those things upon them and upon this family. And I thank you that we can ask you for such things. I pray for mom and dad especially. I think raising three boys would be so cool. In fact, I know it would be. And so, Father, I just pray for the blessings that will come from that. But I also pray for the tough times that will come from that. I pray for truth. I pray for truth and love. I pray for your understanding of discipline, of the way to raise these guys, and again, in a way that will honor you. And, Father, I pray that they will know, mom and dad will know that you're with them, that you're walking with them, that you're empowering them to bring this glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blessing that these folks are as part of us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people who said they'll join in as much as possible and be a part of helping this happen, will say a hearty amen.
Amen.
There you go. Thank you. Now, we have specially designed Bibles. There you go. There you go. Thank you so much. You did a good job, guys, Mom and Dad. All right. Now I get to do this for everybody. Let's do it all at once, okay? Is that okay? No? You don't want to do it all at once? Yeah, they say, yeah, the one family says do it all at once. All right, all the Greshams that are involved, come on up. I think there's enough. What's that? Oh, yeah, Beth, too. Now we have everybody. Rich, do we have enough? One more chair. Here. Nah, we're okay. Either way. They're going to sit behind. All right.
I just have to say one thing. Sorry.
Yeah, don't.
I'm sorry. I just have to say one thing. Graham thinks he's here for retirement. He thinks dedication is retirement. Nora thinks it's coronation. So they might be disappointed with just dedication.
Okay. All right. This is a lot of my family. Another part of my family is not here today, but this is a lot of them. And let's go with Brandon and Stacy first. Brandon, raise your hand. Stacy, raise your hand. Okay, everybody knows who you are. Again, I feel like I'm in the way. I can't, the way this is. No, I'm fine. We're fine. Like that. I'll stand behind you back here. So, Gray, down there on the end, is, she's the oldest one here, right?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay, she's the leader of the bunch, and she's quite a leader. Verse for Gray is, be strong and courageous. I'm not sure we really need to pray that for her, but that's okay. As a firstborn, Gray's always been an overachiever. That's what she tries. Yep. She loves to try new things and be in charge. She's gifted with an ability to read and write and use words to describe things around her. So we pray that God will calm her anxiousness as she tries to be perfect. It's a genetic trait. In everything she does, and that she'll rest in the fact that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Who are you going to trust? Gray has trusted in Jesus for salvation. She's been born again, and she's made a public testimony of that. And so we're thankful for that. Then we have Graham, otherwise known as Graham Cracker. Well, I didn't tell him you're known as Princess Chicken Pits, so that's okay. So Graham Cracker, Graham, that's right. The verse is one that's taken about the Lord here, Luke 2:52, grew in wisdom and in stature. That's their prayer for you. I think stature will be okay. I don't think you have any problem with that. Wisdom, we're going to keep praying that for you, Graham, my friend, Mr. Cracker. Graham's always done things a little differently. He has a gentleness and kindness about his spirit and loves music with all his heart. He does. He's a talented piano player and handles challenges with grace. We pray that Graham will come to know Jesus and be more like him every day. We pray that he'll grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, just like Jesus did. That's your mommy and daddy's prayer for you. We'll keep reminding you of that. Then we have Good. And my mom said, no, that's not really his name. And I said, yes, it's really good, with an E. And they didn't put it on here, but the special thing is he's good Raleigh, and I'm bad Raleigh. Middle name. Here's the verse for them. Walk in the way of love, Mr. Good, bar Ephesians 5:1, and then the living sacrifice of Romans 12:1. Good shows us that the Lord's plans are better than our own. He is... There's something hidden there. He is loving and active, a busybody who's constantly climbing up something. He has lots of examples to follow in our house with two older siblings, but we pray that he'll follow God's example and walk in the way of love. We pray he would come to know Jesus as his Savior and give his life as a living sacrifice. You got that, Mr. Good? He does. All right. We're going to pray for you guys, and then I'm going to pray for I'll do them all at once. It's getting busy. You ready to do them all at once? Isaac, raise your hand. Rachel, raise your hand. Other Isaac, raise your hand. There you go. And this is Nora. We already dedicated Nora. She's quite dedicated. It's her coronation. Okay. So these are Isaac and Rachel's kids. Isaac Jr. is the one we're dedicating today. He's full of surprises. He arrived 2 weeks early and still weighed almost 9 pounds. His big sister affectionately calls him Baby Bumble. I thought that was a chair. Is that what? Okay, never mind.
Baby Bumble.
Baby Bumble, okay. And asks to hold him daily. Our prayer, this is their prayer for you, bud, is for little Isaac to love Jesus and become his hands and feet, living carefree in the care of God. We're so grateful that God has given us laughter. That's what we would say from Isaac. All right, I'm going to pray for all of you. Do you want to pray as well? I'll pray. All right. Let me pray for all of you. Thank you for being here, Beth. Thank you for being here. Why are you here, ma'am?
I don't know.
You don't know?
We would be
lost without her. She and her family, they
have her mother up.
Yeah, her mother too. They really, really are other mothers. They really are other mothers, and that's you'll understand that a little better when I talk in a little bit, but they really do participate. So many people from this body participate in the lives of these folks and in the lives of these kids. We're so, so, so grateful for that. We thank you for that. All right, let me pray for you all. Don't do like we do at the dinner table, okay? All right. Lord, again, today, I come to you, and I come to you certainly for me. This is a very special thing for me, Mary, Beth, Rachel, all of us. It's a special thing, Lord, because of these kids. And Lord, we're just grateful again for the gifts that you give us. We're grateful to dedicate these gifts back to you, to let you know that they do belong to you and that we entrust them to you. And so right now, as I pray for each of these, I want to pray for Gray. May she indeed be strong and courageous, but may her strength and courage be founded in you. May she know that that is the source of strength and the source of real courage. Lord, I pray for Graham. Thank you for Graham. What a blessing he is. Lord, thank you that he is indeed growing, and he's growing both in wisdom and stature. But more importantly, as Stacy's put here, may he grow in a wisdom and stature that looks like you. May he come to trust you at an early age. For Good, little Good, thank you. Thank you for watching over his health. And Lord, we pray that, again, you'll cause him, as he is walking everywhere right now, to walk in love. God, we want him to grow. We want him to know you, to trust you, Lord Jesus, for his salvation. And so we pray for him, and we dedicate these three to you. And then, Lord, for Isaac Jr., thank you for what a blessing he is. Thank you for, again, watching over him, coming just a little bit early. So a few difficulties in that sense, but Lord, you're there, and we just are grateful that we can turn to you. And now we pray, as we always pray, that these moms and dads, they know you, they want their kids to know you, those that don't yet have not yet placed their faith in you. They want them not only to know you, but to grow, to be like you, Lord Jesus, so that they can bring glory to you. And Lord, we dedicate each of these to you. We offer them back to you, Lord. Will you please, please honor that prayer? Work in their lives. Work through all of us to make the sacrifices, to love in the way that we should love each other, and to love in the way that we should love you in order to accomplish that. Lord, I do pray again as well with great thanksgiving for this body, certainly because I know these kids, these families. I know how this body interacts with them. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that you've placed us in the connection with this body and for all that that means, for the influence that these folks have on the lives of my kids and then of the next generation. Lord, we entrust them to you. We want to honor you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you all did a good job. Oh, we have Bibles.
And all of us say together.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that. You all, I already prayed for you, but let's do it. If you'll help, if you'll help mom and dad in this, and you'll help grandma and grandpa in this, would you say a hearty Baptist amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Well done. And Nora Bell, we love you too. I didn't say much about you because you're already a dedicated person. All right. All right. Thank you all. Nursery and all that. Pardon? Yeah, we're done. Coronation's done. Grandpa is king. Thank you. I don't believe in attractional church. I believe in church growth by... It's almost sort of a Catholic tradition there to that. But all right, a little change in focus, but not really a change in focus, because apart from this, none of the rest of it makes a lot of difference at all. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together now. And for part of that, I'm going to ask you if you would sing Take My Life and Let It Be, just as we move from that idea of dedication on into the Lord's Supper. And please come and get the bread and get the cup. Father, we come to this place that's a real highlight in what we're doing. We remember the Lord Jesus, and as he told the Apostle Paul to tell us, we remember his death, his sacrifice. Lord, we remember what it took for him to do that, what sort of man he was, a humble man, a man who loved others so much that he gave himself for them. We're reminded that as he did that, he accomplished something that nothing else but his sacrifice of body and blood would accomplish. And so we want to focus on that. We want to be grateful for that. We can never deserve it. We know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. We don't play that game, Lord. We don't want to lie about it or try to figure out some way that we can justify that we deserve what you've done for us in Christ. We simply want to fall at the feet of our Lord Jesus with thanksgiving. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you've accomplished for us. And we remember that death. And of course, the resurrection that follows and the life that it brings. We remember that right now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's eat and drink together.
When Raleigh asked me to think of songs about faith and family, this song came to mind. I love to tell the story.
Jesus.
thank you. I think they used to enjoy those times with baby dedications and baptisms and all those kinds of things. By the way, as it's getting warmer, if you're thinking of being baptized, we hauled the hot tub with us. And so our portable baptistry, we'll set it up out there. And if you're ready to do that, we will set a time for that. But I used to enjoy those more, and I'm trying to figure out why do I, well, it's just hard. It's a different setting. It's all those kinds of things. Plus, I don't see as well. Can you imagine that? And I miss the names on the thing, and I'm not even sure I'll remember my own grandkids' names, maybe not even my own kids' names as we go down. And the McFarlands, I know them. I know of them more than I know of them because of their relationship with other people and that. And it's just kind of tough. So I'm grateful for you folks and your participation in that. And thank you for putting up with our kind of moving around way of pulling those sorts of things off. So let me say again, as I've already said this morning, happy Birthing Persons Day. Yuck, 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 yuck. Yeah. That greeting doesn't seem to have the same ring to it as Happy Mother's Day. Just feels a little different, right? And those of you who are awake probably understand that it feels better, or think that it feels better for me to say Happy Mother's Day rather than Happy Birthing Person's Day, because I'm kind of stuck in an old paradigm, sort of a prejudicial, patriarchal, whatever you want to say, sort of paradigm. And your answer would be that we simply need to listen to each other better. And then we would be able to stop the violence that's perpetrated by holding to an outmoded view of being a mother, because that's such a violent thing to hold to, right? Lately, I've been meeting more often with Reverend AI, and Reverend AI reminded me that not everything on the internet's absolutely true. Yeah, I know. It's a tough discovery. Not everything that the internet says, especially not in the order presented by the search engines, can be trusted implicitly. There are actually things that are made up, and they're offered as if they're facts. And so when I get a search result, I just don't know much. I don't know anymore, because I'm almost required to go back and check sources and do research and actually do work to validate that it's factual. Imagine that. We all used to do that. Now we just trust that there. But it's hard work. Since I'm personally not a fan of hard work, when easier work will suffice, I always let easier work take the place. And so I only do the hard work for what I think really matters. And that means that, like a lot of the stories that pastors tell, to illustrate sermons, my internet illustrations, because I don't have a lot of stories, so I have to go to AI and the internet, but my internet illustrations or citations need to be taken with a grain of salt, which, by the way, the internet assures me means something taken with a skeptical attitude, which, by the way, the internet tells me is a well-known saying that most certainly came from 77 AD when Pliny the Elder, translating an antidote for poison, said, take the antidote with a grain of salt. I know that's true, right? The internet said it. So I searched the internet. You're not going to believe it. I searched the internet for the origins of Mother's Day. Wow. Surprise, surprise. The internet tells me, can't vouch for this, the internet tells me that those origins were somewhat progressive for their day. Actually pretty progressive, almost awake. Three women in particular, two of them I'll mention, but three in particular, Ann Reeves Jarvis, and then a lady named Julia Ward, who was a poet, and then Ann's daughter, Anna M. Jarvis, were involved in getting instituted a day that honored mothers. And not just mothers, but the gift of mothering, the idea of mothering. And it was pretty radical for those days. Mom Jarvis, so the older lady, was a young Appalachian homemaker, and she was a Sunday school teacher. Imagine that. And she taught very poor children each week. And according to the source on the internet, which is The Almanac, as a kind of activist, she had organized mothers' work clubs in West Virginia to combat unsanitary living conditions for a lot of the poor children. She was quite concerned with the high infant mortality rates among those families, and she wanted to help mothers keep their babies alive in very kinds of simple ways. Well, she worked hard at that, and after she passed away, her daughter Anna pushed to memorialize her mother's efforts of matchless service, not just for her mother's name, but so that they would go on, her service to these poor kids, her service to human beings, with a day each year to commemorate her mom and the powerful, powerful role of motherhood. The internet says that's the gospel truth. I don't know whether it is or not, but I like the story. It kind of makes the point that I'd like to make. You say to me, we were studying Genesis last time I checked. We are. We're still studying Genesis. And although it may not seem like it at first, this message comes out of the first book of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. However, if you've looked ahead, the Genesis narrative for today is a story about a girl named Dinah. Do you know that story? She's a daughter of Jacob by Leah. And what happened to Dinah and what her father and her brothers did in response to that might actually be a pretty good lesson on a day like today, because I'm focusing on parental influence. However, on a day when we dedicate little children and think especially of motherhood, it just didn't seem like the best timing for the message of Genesis 34. And you can look that up if you need to. And besides, Kathy and I, when I talked, we agreed we don't know any good hymns or choruses based on the story of Dinah and the Shechemites. It's hard to rhyme anything with Shechemite. Marmite? I don't know. But I'm in Genesis. I'm just not in Genesis 34 this morning. We'll get back to that. In a recent past sermon, I slipped in a little reminder that one way Moses divides up this book of Genesis is by using the Hebrew word, actually Hebrew idea kind of toledot. Toledot. Translators, as with a few words, especially a few Hebrew words, like the word for covenant loyalty, hesed, the word for covenant grace, they just have a hard time translating these Hebrew words, as small and as compact as they are, into one English word. It's very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. Difficult to render them into one word in any language, actually, because they have bigger meanings. And basically, as I understand it, and I move around through this from time to time, toledot generally means what came out of it. And I reminded you of that. Maybe it was last week or the week before. But it can indicate what came out of the heaven and the earth. There's a toledot of the heaven and the earth in Genesis, what came out of it. But more often in Genesis, it indicates what came out of a family, what was produced by a family. That's more often, as I say, in Genesis, the way it's used. But it seems clear to me, as Moses uses the idea, the word of toledot in Genesis, it's not simply a description of this happened, and this happened, and this happened. It's not just a narrative of what came after another thing. It's a description of that includes, the idea of influence. This created this. This influenced this. This made for this. And so when it's applied to people, when it's applied especially to families, it's speaking of a generational influence, a generational influence. Now, it is probably true, I've not counted, and I didn't even check the internet on this, so I can't swear by it, but if you simply measure the word counts in Genesis for narratives of Genesis that are focused more on what came out of the men and the fathers as opposed to what came out of the women and the mothers, I would suspect that it talks more about the fathers. That's just a suspicion, but I'm not so sure as I went back through it again. I think that's the case. But very often, as we've been seeing now in the case of Jacob and Jacob and his boys, we'll see as we go ahead in a few weeks, what came out of it was pretty negative. It was a pretty negative influence, a negative impact for God with their generational influence. But we do have some stories, Genesis stories about mothers. Think back. For example, there's Sarah and the Hagar mess. There's Rebecca, a mom who so unevenly or in an unbalanced way loved Jacob over his, or loved Isaac over his brother Esau. And then there's Rachel. Picture her smugly sitting on top of stolen pocket gods and lying about it all. There's stories about moms, right? Good stories about moms. Maybe moms do get bad press. Maybe as much bad press in Genesis as the dads get. Moses certainly does not shy away from telling us that moms had sometimes had negative influence on the Toledot, had negative generational influence on their kids. So what's an appropriate lesson for mothers from Genesis for a Mother's Day, a sweet Mother's Day? More appropriate, at least, than that next in line story of Dinah. Is the lesson that mothers can be as big a failure as fathers? Mothers can influence their children as negatively as dads do? I bet you moms already knew that. You probably already learned that if you've had a kid for very long. You know you can sometimes fail in the way that you're a mother. You can fail even sometimes at being a godly influence for your kid. You probably didn't need me to tell you that from Genesis. If that were indeed the lesson for mothers today, you might have preferred I went ahead with the story of Dinah, even if you know what it's about. You probably don't need me to emphasize your shortcomings as an admittedly imperfect mother. But instead, I want to give you an idea of a long-term toledot. The what came out of, what resulted from a generational influence of just one of these women that I've mentioned, and it's Sarah. It's because we know. We have a New Testament letter that we studied together before we were in Genesis, 1 Peter, and in that letter, in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, we're told what came out of that after a long period of time. And where Peter is speaking about this, he does it in a context where he first talks about Jesus' example, about Jesus' humble, submissive, obedient, trusting example, how he trusted the Father and the Father's purposes. And then he gives this toledot of Sarah. And in the toledot of Sarah, it's focused on Sarah's relationship to her husband. I grant you that. But I'll assume that this attitude of hers toward her father probably influenced the kids, because the way husbands treat their wives and wives treat their husband has a lot of generational influence. I'm going to assume that this part of the toledot of what came from Sarah for God's purposes came out of a mother who was as imperfect as Sarah was, and she was imperfect. So Peter, you may remember these, 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6. Let me read the verses. I won't have to say much about them. Wives, he's speaking to wives, in the same way be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. And here's where it gets into the Sarah part. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great value in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You're her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now, just as a pause here, and I talked about this a lot when we were there. If you're put off by the idea of this submission business, this quiet submission, and especially to Abraham, if Sarah was imperfect, Abraham was doubly so. This quiet submission, if you think somehow what that would mean was somehow Sarah's influence was limited, Sarah's motherhood couldn't have much influence, well, later on when you get a chance, not now, but later, go back as we did at the time and look at what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:15. The apostle makes it clear there that motherhood has such an influence that it can save a woman from a need to demand attention in order to be influential. It can do that. That's how influential motherhood is. So motherhood produces a toledot, produces an influence, produces something that comes out of it. But guess what? It does it differently than a man or fatherhood do it. It produces a different, produces generational influence in a different way. Now, as I personally concluded men are better than, or I'm sorry, oh man, I almost said that wrong. I've personally concluded women are better than men. That's a long story too. I've also personally concluded mothers are better than fathers. That's my conclusion. There's a lot of reasons that go into that. It doesn't matter a lot, but there is. I personally have concluded motherhood can actually produce a greater, maybe just as great, but probably greater influence on the toledot of a family than fatherhood can. Both can, but I think motherhood sets the tone. I do. Now, like my sons today, you saw two of my sons up here. We have the same size shoulders and bellies, so you should be able to recognize that. But you saw two of them up here, Isaac and Brandon. I've got another one, Raleigh. He's the thin one in the family that keeps us all hoping. Like those boys do today, I used to toss my little babies, little children, I used to toss them high in the air and listen to them giggle as they came down into my arms. I also used to grab them by two arms or two legs and swing them around, you know, and just go around like that and around and around and around and around until they almost barfed. But when I stopped, as bad as that was, when I stopped, they'd say, again, daddy. I used to play with my kids as if my kids were unbreakable. It just seemed that way to me. But it's funny now. Now when my daughters-in-law, all of them, three of them, hand me their newborn babies, and they all do this. We're in the hospital room, right? And they hand me that newborn baby. I get like this, and I relent. I take the baby because you got to take the obligatory picture, the first picture for sure. And so I very gingerly hold that baby, and then as quickly as I can, I hand them back to a mother. Any mother will do. Any woman close by, I hand them back. Now, I don't think I've ever said this because I'm sure my daughters-in-law wonder sometimes why I do that, but I probably have never told them this, but that behavior is actually a metaphor for me. It's a very meaningful thing for me. It's a statement that I'm making. I am very, very much aware of what is inside me, and what is inside me at that point is saying babies are fragile. They're breakable. They're soft. They're flexible. They're malleable. They're moldable. They're so easily molded into the wrong shape, even physically, by my clumsy, insensitive hands holding them that way. I really do think about that at that time. It's not that I don't love those babies. It's not, oh man, when they stiffen up and they've got those, I love holding those. It's not that I don't love those babies. It's that I've learned how easily I could hurt those babies. In that physical picture, it's become to me obvious. They don't necessarily know it. They're both gone now, so one, but they don't necessarily know it. After oh no, she's back there. I thought you left. I'm sorry. Never mind. That physical picture, watching my influence, my toledot being written over the years, is a statement of caution. I know. I am, as a father, as a man, I'm not made perfectly to love that baby as those women around me are. I'm just not. As I say, I've thought about this deeply. And I've come to realize at a metaphorical level from that, I don't really actually remember very well, at least, a single sermon a man ever preached to me on a Sunday morning. I might remember a topic or a text, but I don't really remember a single sermon that well. But I cannot forget. I will not forget. I cannot forget. I haven't forgotten. I hope I never have to. sitting in my grandmother's kitchen talking about Jesus and the Bible as a tiny kid. We started talking as we were doing, because she was searching for something to feed me. I was hungry as a kid, and she was searching for something to feed me. She didn't have the kind of food that you'd normally feed a kid. I don't think they had peanut butter and jelly or didn't believe in it or whatever. But the only thing she could concoct at the time, and I've told you this recipe before, I'll give it to you again, was a new kind of spaghetti. It's made out of macaroni noodles, mozzarella cheese grated up, and ketchup. I could eat some of that right now. To this day, and you guys who know, who've done the silly thing with the carb diets like I do all the time, or try to do all the time, you know what it's like when you're longing for those carbs. I just know what it is. I got to have something salty. No, you don't. You want carbs. That's what you want. To this day, when I'm longing for carbs, the thing that I remember is macaroni, cheese, and ketchup. That's what I'll have for my birthday, I think. Okay, it's that special to me. I think it's that special because my love for the Lord Jesus was shaped by that mother, that grandmother. I'm not sure. I think I can. My one son, Brandon's really good at making things up. Sorry, his wife's here, but he's good at making things up that I've done. But for me, I'm not real good at it. I don't know that I can remember a spanking my dad gave me. I know he spanked me, and I'm sorry if you think that's abuse or whatever, but he did. It was probably for a very good reason that he spanked me. However, I don't remember. I just don't remember the lessons that way. However, with my mom, I can recall her reading, and some of you will know this, Rachel Carson's A Silent Spring. I remember that book because it was so thick. And it was one that she got, one of the books that she would get each month from the Reader's Digest Monthly Book Club selection. And I remember how watching her do that influenced me to read. But more than that, I remember how her doing that and then talking about those things influenced me to talk about deeper things, even the deeper things of God, especially those, than any pastor I ever heard talk on Sundays. My mom and I, sometimes I have to wait to call her, and I feel bad, I feel guilty, sorry if you're listening, but I feel guilty, because our conversations last so long because we begin to talk about the deep theological things of God, and we'll be 2 hours down the way talking about those things, and I love that. And I remember that. So whose Toledot am I? Who made me what I am? Well, a lot of influences did. I've watched Mary raise kids. I've watched her raise her own kids. I've watched her raise other people's kids in so many ways. I watched her raise her grandkids and the grandkids of others. And I'm eternally grateful, or at least as far as I know I can be, I'm eternally grateful that by God's grace, when I look at those kids and I see her influence, I see it stamped on them far more directly than my influence is stamped on them, because she really does influence them for God. So whose Toledot are they? Boy, I thank God, the Toledot of a godly woman, a mothering one. I watch my three daughters-in-law, you're not supposed to be here, and my grandkids. And these kids are most certainly a mix of moms and dads. They really are. Sometimes it's amazing. They tend one way or the other, but it's amazing. And I'm so grateful that these mothers, these daughters-in-law, I'm so grateful for them, because it's mostly their influence that I can see in my young grandchildren, the youngest ones certainly, and it looks so, so like Jesus. I'm so grateful for that influence. Whose Toledot are they? Whose influence shapes them? So I began this morning playing just a bit with the idea of Happy Birthing Person's Day for a reason. There's probably no one sitting here right now who hears that and doesn't say, what a bunch of silly garbage. I mean, maybe not, I don't know, but I doubt that anybody likes that. Mothers give birth. And I'm going to add women, even those who've not given physical birth, women are made by God in a special way. And it's not just the physical nature of it, but they're made especially to mother children. They're made especially to influence young human beings when they're shapeable, moldable, not just physically, but in their hearts. Mothers are made for that. Mothers are made to write toledotes of godliness. They are. Mothers, motherhood, whispers, sings, caresses, life-shaping lessons, much better and long before a loud pastor or a teacher gets to say one emphatic word about God. And I'm not a mother, never will be. Don't pretend to understand it. I know that's a great gift. I watch mothers. I watch them. I know that's a great gift. I know it is. And I know it's a great opportunity. That's what I'm talking about, an opportunity to shape, before I could ever influence kids, to shape them for God. It's a great opportunity, but it's also a great responsibility, and I get that. I get that. It weighs heavily sometimes. Sometimes it can be a burden, for sure. So I took you to Sarah's New Testament toledot. It doesn't say toledot. It doesn't even say mom, but I get the idea of what her character was like and why it was like that. And so I took you there as an example of a good wife and a good mother, not because she was perfect. In fact, I take you there because she wasn't perfect. That's why Genesis tells us what it tells us about her. She was not perfect as a woman, a wife, or a mother. She was not perfect. She didn't get it right every time. She did not. But I take you there because Sarah is given as an example of what it's like to build an outcome, a generation with influence, because she was a woman who ultimately demonstrated that her hope was in God. Again, she didn't always do that perfectly. She had fears, I'm sure. We read of some of them. She had failures, I think. But she grew and she grew in this hope in God. Peter said, and maybe she was a very beautiful woman for the day because all these kings and big leaders wanted to marry her, but she could have made herself noticed, made herself have a kind of influence in a greater way by playing up the world's ways of influence, by making herself look a certain way, but she didn't do that. Peter said she made herself the beautiful woman, wife, and mother she was by showing people, by showing her husband, by showing her child, her hope in God, her hope in God. A mother, as no other person, can start the direction of a toledot concerning her children. A mother can start an ongoing generational influence that reads this: their hope was in God. That's quite a toledot. That's quite an influence. If I could but influence everyone I touch that my hope is in God, that would be quite enough. This is the way God designed it to be. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to get into this too much because it's a bit of a downer for me right now, but that's why the evil one and the evil one's world that follows him has to attack the idea of motherhood today. It has to attack motherhood and mothering and the femininity part of it as it's defined and illustrated in God's word. The evil one attacks that. The enemy has to destroy that, because if a person's hope is in God, that brings God great glory. And so where better to start with the destruction than at the very foundations of that, where a mother or those who get to mother children are laying those foundations of trust in God. Let me finish with a couple of things. Two very destructive deceits for mothers are these today. Two deceits, two things that are wrong First, the deceit that says mothering is nothing special, nothing different. It's not a uniquely important part of God's creation design. It's not worth much. In fact, being a mother may waste your life, so don't waste your life. That's wrong. That is as wrong can be. Secondly, you must be perfect to be a good godly mother. You can't ever get it wrong. You can't make a mistake. You can't doubt sin, or you'll fail. You can't be a mother who's growing in your faith. You've already got to be there. So just give up. That's wrong. That's as wrong could be. The reality is that mothering the next generation is as influential a human privilege as ever given by God for his glory. It writes toledotes of influence for whole generations. And the reality is that mothering is at its best when it's a reflection of a woman's hope in God, even when, or maybe especially when, that mother fails. But God doesn't give up on her. She keeps her hope in him. She believes in his grace. She trusts him. Mothering teaches the next generation the reality of a God-given purpose for her creation and of a God-given redemptive love by grace. Mothers teach that in ways I find hard to do. Mothers write powerful toledotes when their hope is in God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, especially again. And Lord, you know what went on here. You know in the hearts of the families that have dedicated these dear, dear, dear children. But Lord, we do this on a day that's called Mother's Day. And I'm grateful for that because I'm just in awe of your wisdom and how you created a man and woman, husband and wife, father and mother, how you did that. And Lord, it's you know that it's not simply the act of giving birth, because there are mothers who give birth that don't love their children. It's the idea of knowing that role. It can be a woman who's never given birth but knows how to mother. And so, Father, I pray for these mothers today. I pray for those who mother. God, I pray for them in a time when people look at it and don't think much of it in our world. I pray that the church would just lift up that wisdom. And God, I pray for the mother who's struggling because she can't do it perfectly. Father, I think of my little Gray who wants to do everything perfectly. God, I pray that Gray will learn that she must rest in you and that it isn't up to her to be perfect. And I pray that mothers will rest in you and it doesn't have to be up to them to be perfect. God, I pray that mothers will trust you, that they'll find their hope in you. And I pray that we fathers, we those who are men, will support them in this. I pray as a church that we'll support them in this. And I pray because of it that you'll get great glory. And I ask all of these wonderful things in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, be closer to me, please. It's hard. It's hard to go that far. You can move on in. Do we have any announcements? Anything that we need to put out there? Oh, yes, announcements. Eli, what are you supposed to tell me?
Behind you.
Behind me.
Yeah.
Okay. I need some youngsters. Can I get a couple youngsters or oldsters? I'm not going to bend down. I'll let you guys bend down. There's three little things of candy here. We don't have flowers. We feed our mothers. We don't give them flowers. That's what we do. So these are for mothers or those who mother. And then after that, they're for anybody who's hungry. If there's enough. Thank you, guys. You can go ahead and pass those out. Happy Mother's Day. Happy, happy Mother's Day. I'm going to sing one more song. And then we'll honor Caperni by cleaning up well as we do each week. So let's stand and let's sing Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Son, and Holy Ghost.
Make sure all the moms got one of those. There's a message on there for you. And if not, if there's more of them, then just act like you're a mother and you can have the candy. Okay, God bless you. Thank you.